We cut all of those scenes out of our movie.
Yeah,
you know.
Did they, by the way, did you have to re-record a lot of stuff because they changed Lewis and Lynette's name to Kaylee?
I didn't even know. When I came on board, her name was Kaylee.
Oh, okay.
So I think they started without me, the whole picture. And I came on board, I think, a good 3 weeks into their production.
That was what,
97? 97, exactly. As you know, a feature animated feature movie, excuse me, take a long process. It's a long, long process. So I would record, go away, make a movie, come back many, many months later, pick up right where I left off. You know.
Did you think what to do? Get in an actual town?
Not really, because luckily, excuse me, I better eat this sweet, so we're not sounding very strange. Luckily, Delisa, the producer, and Frederick, the director, and myself, they agreed that the best thing for me was to, rather than choose a dialect for this character, was to just pick a voice that was closest to my own. And I was fine with that, you know. Made it a lot less complicated.
Was this your first animated feature?
My first feature. I'd done TV. A couple of episodes of Pinky and the Brain, I guess.
Is it your last one?
Huh?
Is it your last?
My last feature?
Yes.
Gosh, I hope not.
Now with animated?
I hope not. I would love to do it again. I love it. It's fascinating. I'd like to play a more comical character, I think.
Yeah, yours are quite dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to play something like perhaps, you know, one of the roles like Eric Idle or Bronson played, you know. That'd be kind of fun to do. Try something different, as long as it's different. You know.
Did you discover something in this movie?
I discovered that I probably need to do more theater to get my voice to train it better, to make it do what I want it to do. That's or take voice classes, perhaps.
Do you do a lot of theater?
I don't. That's to my chagrin. I it's one of the goals I've set for myself in my life, and I've yet to achieve that. But you know, I'm making strides in that direction.
What have you got coming up? Have you got any theater?
No, I'm looking into theater here while I'm here. But right now I'm working on it. The thing is, I get easily distracted by good feature roles, and that's been my... it's a blessing and a curse as far as my theatrical goals are concerned, you know?
Is there one role in the live theater that you would love to play if you could be offered any role?
Should I tell you Hamlet? Do you want to hear that? No. I think every actor says that. No, I'd like to play... I'd definitely like to do some Shakespeare. I think that there's a lot to be said for that as an actor, learning how to do good Shakespeare as opposed to mediocre Shakespeare, you know? And that would obviously require being in a good company, working with a good director, who knew a lot about it. I had the opportunity when I asked Lady Jane to join the Royal Shakespeare Company, and I kind of wish I'd done it. It would have been 3 years, you know, of starting out holding spares and stuff like that, but I think that, okay, maybe just switch over. Here we go. I got one of these. I got the same one. Oh, who's on here? Okay. Do you want to record over that?
Yeah.
How's that? Groovy.
Are you a
No, I have one of these, exactly the same model. I use that to go and interview people and myself, you know, when I'm doing research. So, a little bit about it before.
What was the research like for this role?
This was fun. I got to you know, studied a wonderful collection of books that Frederick Duchard gave me on Arthurian legends, you know. Mainly, I got to really study of what it was like to be blind, you know. That was quite something. I watched tapes of people, you know, telling me what it was like of their experience of losing their eyesight, rather than, you know, people who'd been born with having lost their sight, but people who'd lost it through some sort of an accident or some disease or some medical mistake, and that was very useful and very heart-wrenching, but very useful for me.
In what order? Since it's a voice that we need.
Well, just to hear what that experience was like for these people. It was very hard for them to put themselves on tables. I was working on another feature in Orlando at the time, so I had to get it on tape. I couldn't ask the, you know, I couldn't ask somebody to fly themselves, you know, fly out to, you know, come to where I was shooting. I thought that would be a little unfair on that person, but so I got them to put themselves on tape. So I listened to some people who had lost their sight through accidents. One girl who now is in South Africa who lost her sight from a car accident, you know, really just hearing her experience about what she went through and how she adapted to life, not seeing all the things that we take for granted, you know, and just by feeling people or by learning to have a seeing eye dog, using a cane, learning Braille, all these things that you have to do when you lose one of your senses, but especially sight, where there's so many things that you have to accommodate to. And it brings great fear, because your sense of hearing gets more acute. Loud noises can really affect you more, you know, than it would, say, us, you know, because a gunshot would definitely scare us, but for a blind person it's twice the velocity, you know. So they're all, you know, they're very sensitive people, very sensitive, because they've had to learn to use other senses. I thought that was so bold and cool of Warner Brothers to pick a character who was blind to be a hero, you know? So...
Do you think in a way that this was taking the old Camelot legends and adapting them to be more politically correct for our modern sensibilities?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I mean, obviously these characters, the only characters that are rooted in reality are Arthur and you know, his Knights of the Round Table, but... I like it. Like I said, I think it's the only blind hero that I can think of that's ever been put on the screen before in an animated feature. You know.
Do you think that a blind hero teaches children that handicapped people can surmount their disabilities and achieve their goals?
Absolutely. But more importantly, that blind children can, who might not be as confident as others, to hopefully give them some inspiration on how to deal with that. You know? I hope.
Did you find it challenging with this project? I know you weren't really him. You know, you weren't really being him. You were the voice.
Yeah, I found it very challenging. I learned a lot from Jesslyn, because she's done a lot of animation before. So, and since all my scenes, nearly all of my scenes were with her, I asked her to be my tutor, really. She's very, very adept at it. So I just watched her, and while she was working, studied her.
You didn't work. You're in, like, a recording booth?
You're in a recording booth. Initially, they give you a big storyboard book, the script, and you take that home, and you study that, and you get a sense of where they're heading with the story through the storyboard. And you come in and you just lay down your voice. And they just put you in a room with a mic. And to me, I would try and imagine. It would be helpful, actually, having my eyes shut, because I could really both use it for the character, but I could use it also to create the imagery in my head of what was going on, you know. Then you come back, as I say, I would go off and do another project, come back, and then they've taken a piece of the storyboard and they've animated it. They've drawn with a pencil. So you see, like, the stick figure going through the frame. Or actually, in some cases, a fully drawn character, but again, it's just one-dimensional. Then you lay over another track, then you go away, they go away, they draw that, they add background scenery, and the in-betweeners come in and do their little thing, and they try and they add the CGI and what have you, and come back, and then you re-loop what you've done previously for the final cut.
Do they film you as you're speaking your roles?
Yeah, they film you. They get so they get a lot apparently from that by watching you do your voiceovers. So we will film quite a lot of the time. So I've got some pretty nutty footage of me doing crazy things. Sure. Just hope they won't use it as evidence against me later on. That's it. I guess that's it, right? We're pretty much covered. Anything else?
And what did you find in your voice that you didn't like or that needs to be improved?
Just the range. Just the range. I mean, I can do dialects, as I said. I don't know if I told you that. I can do dialects fairly easily. Because as a kid, just watching, you know, my favorite comedians and mimicking them. But when it comes to levels, you know, baritone, bass, that sort of thing, I'd like to be able to have that command. It'd be kind of fun. That comes from, you know, making your voice your instrument and tuning it as such.
You would have liked to live in that time?
Gosh, no.
No.
I don't think, you know, did they even have homeopathy then? I don't think grabbing a couple of leaves and putting them on your wound is really the answer. Great modern medicine, you know.
Although it does cure.
It does it? Well, they say that the Druids had a pretty good angle on that, you know. But I think a lot of people died too, though. You just don't know the figures, you know. Yeah, they didn't live very long back then.
Imagine being blind
then. Oh, God. Forget about it.
There were blind people from the site, in the society? Or
back then?
Yeah.
I think all people who had physical disabilities, or that were considered physical disabilities back then, were definitely segregated. No question about it. I mean, society wasn't that advanced back then. And neither was medicine. So people were really not well treated back then if they were disabled in some way. It's tough times. I think that's why they call it medieval. What?
Have you seen the movie completed yet?
I saw a second to last cut of it, which I really enjoyed. I thought the work that had gone into it was phenomenal. You know, so many animators working such long hours to bring one fraction of a second of a scene together. When you think about how much work went into that, just one gesture, boggles the mind. Extraordinary.
Did you see it with children anymore? You said that
too. No, I didn't. So I'd like to see it again. I'm going again next weekend with my nieces. So So they'll be my best critics. So
what's
if,
that?
If they don't like me in it, boy, I'm in trouble. They're 8 and 5, I guess. Yeah, they know all about it. They've seen all the animated pieces.
Were they excited that you?
They're pros. Like you're, you know.
Would you change your voice a little bit? With the accent and dialect?
Well, only in so much as that, living here for 18 years, I've picked up something of an American dialect. So it was just having to concentrate on being English. That's it. Which is not that complicated.
It's not that bad either.
What?
Concentrated on being English.
No, I said which is not that hard. Yeah. You know, luckily, concentrating on being Czech. That's complicated.
Where are you
from? I was born in London. Yeah.
Have something cooking now?
Yeah, my nose is cooking. No, I'm working on a, it's because of this terrible cold I have, but no, I'm working on a wonderful project called Cradle Will Rock that Tim Robbins is directing, and we're in rehearsals right now, which we'll shoot here in June in the height of summer in New York City. Yeah, looks great. It's based on a true story. It's about Orson Welles and John Houseman's company, Project 891, Federal Theater Project, and their attempts to get this very controversial musical off the ground when the federal government decided to ban it by... And their trials and tribulations to get this project off the ground. I can't tell you too much about it. I don't want to ruin it for you.
What's the title?
It's called Cradle Will Rock. It's a wonderful story. And Orson tried to get it off the ground among many other projects he tried to get off the ground near the end of his life. But this was one that he tried for many years with his own script of it and just could not raise the money. So many directors have tried and failed since. But Tim has been working on it, I think, for several years now. Been wanting to do it. Very happy about that.
You live in New York?
No, I live in California. Mudslide area. Malibu. El Nino. Yeah. That's why we put that joke in at the end. I really was late for work because of El Nino. It was...
There's a nice humor in this movie.
Yeah, I think it is. I love the fact that we got... Brunson, Eric, and Don Rickles. I thought they were great. And Gary's not too bad either. What do you think? It's pretty cool, isn't he? Gabriel Byrne, Gielgud. Hey, that's a great cast. Jane Seymour. It's a great cast.
Makes it easier when you don't have to assemble everybody in the same place at the same time.
Well, sure. The logistics of that, obviously, are very complicated because a lot of us were working and doing other projects, so... But they have these incredible computers now where they can hook you up digitally and you can record out of your car phone now and they can get it as clear as, you know, the Sprint pin dropping, as it were, and put it straight into the mix. Not for the final looping session, but certainly for other sessions along the way. They can do that now. You can be anywhere. Can record you.
What's your favorite part of the movie?
I don't have a favorite part. I just
Forbidden Forest. Forbidden Forest.
Forbidden Forest. I love the animation in that. Actually, I love what they did with all the plants and trees, and I just love the look of the whole thing as a whole. There's a shot of the castle at one point where the clouds are moving in. I just thought that these, all too often when we see animated features, you just, at least I'm speaking for myself, I should say, I take a lot of it for granted. I go, well, you know, it's very beautiful, very nice. But when I got to go meet some of the animators and see their drawings, and when you go to the animated feature department of Warner Brothers, they have all these stills up on the wall, all these cells. And then you realize the background cells are really actually painting. I always thought they were just
sells as well, but they're really paintings. The guys have gotten down these watercolors. They have thousands of brushes of every different length and size. You know, and just the detail in these things. I thought they were huge too. I imagined they were big, but some of them are about this wide, maybe this tall. Just the minutiae that they get into. And they're all got wicked sense of humor, all of them. They've all got really dirty comic strip characters up on the walls. So they've all designed their areas just as you imagine they would. Things that keep them. For the director or for the actor?
Yeah, for the whole film.
From start to finish, I think it's. I think it's like 3 or 4 years, something like that, from concept to the final print, something like that.
And how long were you with it for, actively?
Actively, for me, it was about a year, I guess. But again, it wasn't consistently a year. I was on and off doing other things. I'd come back and